From verse number 6, I know you're familiar with this text of Scripture. We know Christ has been arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane. He has been beaten up. He has gone through mock trials, several of them, by the way. And now, he's been through the Jews, he's been through the Romans, he's been through all this. And he is standing before Pilate, and he gets scourged. He gets the crown of thorn put on his head. They put on the purple robe, and they mock him, and they smote him again with their hands. And so in verse number 9, of course, Pilate asked, the chief priest, therefore, officer saw him, and they cried out, saying, "Crucify him, crucify him." And the Lord, and Pilate said, I'm in verse 6 now. And Pilate saith unto them, "Take ye him and crucify him. I find no fault in him." Now, I want to focus on Pilate's statement, "I find no fault." We'll focus on that word, fault. "I find no fault in him." Now, I do want to preach tonight, if God will help me, on faults. F-A-U-L-T-S, faults. I'm country, so I hope you can get a hold of that. Faults. Faults. Error, flaw, offense, weakness. Webster called it, in Webster 1828, a failing, an error, or a mistake, a blunder. We find this very clearly, that what's happening here is they're trying to find fault in Jesus. And I want to use that in preaching a message on that subject of faults. Now, we live in a time that people don't think they have any. Don't get super spiritual. We do it. We don't do a lot, but we do it. And I wanna talk about that tonight. I wanna deal with it, and I wanna look at several aspects with that verse in mind. About faults. I want to look at tonight the first mention of the word fault. Facts about faults. Fathers of fault finders. Figures of fault finding. And I hope it'll be a help to us tonight. I have some introduction, but I'm going to skip that. And I want to get right into the message. Again, Webster said fault is a failing, an error, or a mistake, a blunder. Now, again, there is a principle in the Word of God called first mention. And the first time something, a word's mentioned in the book of Genesis, it'll carry that idea all the way through the Word of God. And so the first time the word fault is mentioned, it comes up in Genesis chapter number 41. Now, that's not the first fault penned, but it's the first time the word is penned. And it's dealing with the butler that was in prison with the baker, and Joseph wound up in prison. This is a while, 2 years before this verse, because Potiphar's wife told a bald-faced lie on him. Amen. People can find fault in you that's not right, and it causes you suffering. But it came up, and the king saw the image, and so the butler made this statement in verse 9, "I do remember my faults this day." Now, so whatever it was that caused him to go to prison, that he upset the king for, apparently he knew he'd done it wrong. He said, "I do remember my faults this day." Now, folks, that's something. I'm glad when we have these faults and we do things wrong, I'm thankful God will forgive us if we'll confess it. But yet, we remember them. Now, folks, God left us with a memory. A lot of people say, "Well, you've got to forgive and forget." You and I can't wipe things from our memory. But that thought forget means get to the place where it doesn't dictate your heart. It doesn't get you wallowing in bitterness. and you can have fellowship with someone that's offended you. You remember it. You can't help but remember it. I mean, you say, well, forget it. No, you're not going to. That's impossible. But that forget means you get to the place where you've completely let it go. As far as it, folks, a lot of people say, how do you know you've really forgiven and forgotten? When you hear that person's name, you don't get mad. You don't get upset. You don't fly loose to cussing. Amen. I know some folks, God, and they're not here, they're not in this church, but I know some folks I know, I like to tell, get over it. Build a bridge, get over it. But yet this butler made that statement, I do remember my faults. And there's a thought for me here, an application. He wasn't remembering the baker's faults. He wasn't remembering those around him's faults. He was remembering his own. See, I believe if we're going to remember and really think about faults, but remember our own. Now, folks, I don't believe God wants us to wallow in something that he's done that's under the blood. But at the same time, we do remember it, and it gives us two things. It gives us a time of rejoicing. Thank God he's delivered me. He's forgiven me. And another thing is, I don't want to do that no more. I don't want to go back that way before. I don't want to do that anymore. And so he remembered his faults. And because it'd do us well to remember our faults when we want to look at someone else's. Yeah, we super spiritual. So we see the first mention of the word fault. But then we see facts about faults. I want to give you some facts about faults. Everybody but Jesus has them. Pilate said it right. I find no fault in him. Everything that was brought against him, every fault that was brought up against him was fabricated. It was a lie. And we know that. We know that he was God incarnate. We know that he was all God and all man, yet he did not have a sin nature because he was conceived of the Spirit of God. And without a sin nature, you can't sin. We sin because we have a sin nature. It'll be with us until the day we die. Like the preacher asked a lady in his church that was dying, that was way up in her 90s. And he asked her, said, what's one thing you're looking forward to when you leave this world? She said, not having to deal with my flesh anymore. So if you're thinking when you get upon a certain age that your flesh will leave you alone, I'm sorry. It's not going to happen. Christ had no sin nature. He was impeccable. What does that mean? He didn't sin, nor could he have. The impeccability of Christ. Sinless. Didn't sin, couldn't sin. Because he didn't have a sin nature. Now he had characteristics of a man. He hungered, the Bible said. He thirsted, the Bible said. He experienced pain. He shed tears. He had emotions. But he didn't have sin. Amen. So the emotions, the feelings that God's given us as human beings, Christ had them. He was all man. He was all 100% man without a sin nature. He was 100% God and 100% man. And therefore, every fault they brought against him was fabricated. It was a lie. It was a lie of the pit of hell to get rid of him. But you and I have faults. Oh, preacher, not me. Well, I guess the Bible's wrong. James 5:16 says, confess your faults one to another. Now, I didn't learn much in English, but I see an S at the end of fault. That's more than one. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us confess our sins one to another, but confess our faults one to another. Amen. I have a lot of faults. And somebody says something to me or something, I say, yeah, I'm that way. Amen. The Bible tells confess. Hey, you know what? It encourages other people. Let them know, hey, you're not perfect either. So the Word of God says in James 5:16, confess your faults one to another. 1 Peter 2:20 says this, for what glory is it when ye be buffeted for your faults? Now that verse goes on to talk about what we suffer for Christ. But yet, we don't mind suffering for faults. We're not going to suffer for Christ. But anyway, for what glory is it when we are buffeted for our faults? We talked about this last Sunday, Galatians 6. If a man be overtaken in a what? In a fault. So therefore, the facts of the matter is, everybody in this building has faults. Amen. You know, do you well to remember that in your marriage. Amen. Do you well to remember that when you're raising children. A man and woman produce a child. That man has faults. That woman has faults. Your child's not going to be born perfect.
Amen.
It's going to have faults. Of course, I'll give this to the ladies. I ain't said it in a while. Of course, our sin nature comes from our fathers. The sin nature comes from the daddy. Comes from Adam. Comes from the father's line. The sin nature comes from the father's line. So when these women, these mamas say, you're mean as your daddy, she's telling it right. Amen. But how I learned, look, well, you mean as yours too. Tell you why, you mean as your daddy. You got, your faults come from your daddy. Amen. But anyway, some of you girls said, my daddy ain't got no faults. Okay. Mine ain't saying that. She knows better. But the fact remains that everybody has a fault. Folks, we still have an Adamic nature. Now, folks, this isn't a message to okay our sinful life or saying, well, I'm human, I got faults. So, no. The Bible said we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against faith. In other words, Paul fought a good fight. We to fight against this old flesh. We do our best daily to walk in the Spirit that we don't fulfill the desires of the flesh. We walk close to God. We feed this spiritual man, and this old carnal man we try to starve out. The stronger you keep your spiritual man, the more victory you'll have. And the stronger you keep your carnal man, the less victory you'll have. Much prayer brings much victory. Little prayer brings little victory. Little Bible reading brings little victory. Great Bible reading brings great victory. Amen. And folks, they say, I thought about Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Me and Brother Anthony, some of us talking the other day, why we didn't call them by their God-given names. But we all know them by their heathen given names, their Babylonian names. Except for Daniel, right? Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. And so, but anyway, them fellas, they were put right in the middle of the world. Enslaved, but not of their choosing, but they purposed in their heart. They purposed in their heart they would not defile themselves. Folks, that wasn't easy. Because the Bible says there's pleasure in sin for a season, and it was all around them at their taking. Again, folks, they wouldn't eat the king's meat. They wasn't going to eat stuff offered to idols. They weren't going to eat it. And of course, we know that they eat the lentils and stuff. And matter of fact, God kept them healthy. They was more healthier looking. But folks, that took some dedicated hearts. They had purpose in the heart. I don't care what anybody says. That meat, that food that the king was cooking for them had to smell good. And it probably tasted good. They never know. They never took a bite of it. Now you take a fella like me, walk in and them frying T-bones and ribeyes. and me turn around and say, hey, give me a bowl of grass. You better have something purpose. And they purposed that if they did that, they'd defile God. Their relationship with God meant more than satisfying their flesh. That's the key to it. What means the most to us? Where our heart is, that's where our treasure will be. So we reveal that every day. How I know the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. I know that. Boy, do I know that. But yet the same applies is, what is our purpose? Do we want to honor God? Do we want God's power on us? Do we want to have a prayer life that gets the job done? Or do we, you're just satisfied, you know. We're just satisfied. Folks, and then the Pharisees, they had self-religion, self-righteousness, and they kept, the Bible said they kept the outside of the cup clean, not the inside. And folks, I'm going to tell you, you can spot those that only keep the outside of the cup clean, or the outside of their life clean, not the inside, because they're very self-righteous, judgmental, bitter people. The outside looks good. I commend you for that. It should. But if the inside's not clean, you'll get frustrated keeping the outside clean. You'll get mad keeping the outside clean. It'll cause you to be a fault finder. Hello. But it's amazing to me when the heart is clean, when you keep your inner man clean, the spiritual man clean, and then it overflows to the outward man, to the outer side of the cup. And even though we see ourselves in others, we have a humble adoration to God and a burden. Not a bitterness, but a burden for others. And now, seeing other Christians being carnal and not living right, looking at all that stuff, it won't get us bitter. It'll give us a burden. Because you're not going to force with your Pharisaical spirit. Huh? I was told this week of a lady that rebuked another lady and said, I'm dropping you from social media because this, that, and the other. Both Christian ladies just flat told her how wicked and vile she was. And we know both ladies, and I'm thinking, really? And I said, that's Phariseeism. She got mad and bitter instead of getting under a burden for her. She told her off instead of sharing a burden. You understand the difference? I'm not talking about compromising. And if it bothered her that much, yeah, go ahead and do that. But before I do, I'm telling her off. Before I do, I'm going to tell her how low she is and how vile she is and how no count she is. That's bitterness. That's fault finding. That ain't no good. Are you listening to me? Everybody with me? But now notice this. Let me take another step. I'm hurrying. The first mention the facts, but then the fathers are fault finding. And I use that word to keep it alliterated. In the text, Pilate admitted to being a fault finder, and these other people were living it. How you know he admitted it? He said, I find no fault in him. When you find something, or if you're looking for something and you don't find, he was looking for it. He was looking for it. Now, in Christ, they were going to come up to a dead-end road. See, Pilate was either trying to find fault to get to do something to Jesus or not to have to do something to Jesus. And folks, that's the whole reason fault-finding goes on today. To get to do something or not have to do something. They finding fault We're not accepting Christ as our Messiah, as our King. And the nation hadn't done it yet. Now, I'm not saying all Jews are not saved. Some are, but I'm talking about the nation as a whole. They still not turned to Christ. They will later, but they won't now because they find fault in him. They look for reasons not to receive him. See, even the disciples didn't understand it all because they'd been taught so much. They'd been taught so much for so long that when the Messiah come, it was going to be a political figure. He was going to come and he's going to set the Jews free and they're going to have abundance and everybody's going to be happy, singing kumbaya. Then here's Jesus born in a lowly manger. Not a place to lay his head. Just a lowly man. He made himself lower than the angels. And they said, no, that's not our King. And they're still saying it. And they're still looking for him. That's why they don't want no part of Christmas. They don't want no part of that. He ain't the one. And they found fault in him to keep from having to receive him. We want something better. Not realizing they got God. Oh, no, not him. We don't want him. We don't want no part of him. We want better. You can't get any better. But how he came, our King come to defeat, not to die. Not realizing when he died, there was defeat. He defeated death, hell, and the grave. Amen. That's right. Satan wasn't having no party when Jesus was on the cross. Folks, you sing a song like that, I say, yeah, okay, that's all right. But that ain't what the devil and his angels was doing when Christ was dying on the cross. They done everything they could to keep him from the cross. So we see the files of fault finders, and we're still seeing that pattern today. That same pattern today, we're seeing it in our time where people are finding fault to get to do something or not to have to do it. So in that thought, let me give you some figures of fault finding. A lot of people find fault in a job or a supervisor to get out of working. They find fault in a coach to get off a team. They find fault in a teacher to get out of a class. They find fault in a spouse to get out of a marriage. They find fault in a pastor or its parishioners to get out of going to a particular church. That's right. Amen. Folks, it's like this. The Bible plainly says in the book of Proverbs 18, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. We know there's a friend that sits close to the brother. And in my time of pastoring, and you'll understand while I push being good to visitors, I've had this told to me. People there are just not friendly. I've had people that's been here a while. People there just ain't they're just not friendly. They don't speak. Folks, we need to be mindful of that. See, we come in or we go out in society and we see folks that visit our church and stuff, be kind to them. Speak to them. Don't shake their hand here, then stub your nose up at them at Walmart. But I had a lady tell me one time, she said, your men over there is friendly, but your women ain't. Straight to my face. I said, yeah, no, I didn't. No. But we never, and God, we do that. And this hadn't happened in a long time. I mean, a long, long time. But I've had people say, so-and-so won't speak to me. Did you speak to them? You're right. So you're trying to find fault without putting yourself as, hey, you're at fault too. Now, if you went to speak to them and they've done this to you, said, then you got a legitimate problem. But if you're sitting over there perched in your spot, and you come tell me so-and-so didn't speak to you, and you've been cemented to that pew since you got there, and it's like they put two before steps in your head, and you can't even look, you stay, and you leave here, you're fault-finding. You're looking for a reason to get to say or do something or not say or do something. Come on. That's right. The preacher didn't speak to me today. And I understand preachers, pastors are held to a higher standard. And I'm not against that. That keeps me humble. But it's not a sin for you to speak to the preacher first.
Amen. That's right.
Come on. I ain't talking about visitors. I'll break my neck to get to you. And if I miss you, I'll apologize. I don't do that. And I don't mind, I love coming to you. Don't misunderstand me. But fault finding is a way to get out of something or a way that sets our carnal minds at ease that, okay, I have rights to quit it. I have rights to do it or don't do it or be a part of it. I found fault in it. Folks, let me tell you something. I can find fault in you. You can find fault in me. I can find fault in people. I can find fault in churches. I can find fault everywhere I go. And if I'm not going to be a part of something until I don't find any fault, then I'll never be a part of anything. Ever in my life. I'm glad my wife can get past it because she's lived with me for 33 years. The Word of God says it like this, I'm paraphrasing. If a man has trespassed against his brother, you first go to him alone and you tell him his fault between you and him alone. And if he repents, you've gained your brother, and that's over. That's done. It's over. It's done. But no, that I don't want to do that because I'll have to start liking him again. I don't know what I'm going to talk about to my friends now. Come on. Folks, the greatest thing I ever heard somebody tell me one time was this. Somebody had really hurt this individual and his family. And later on, the man humbly apologized and the statement was made, and they don't even know how much it helped me and convicted me. I'll be no longer speaking evil of them. They made it right. That's what Christians do. That's what God's people do. But now we're not going to go to them privately and humbly. And if both people are saved and want the will of God and want the power of God in their life, it's not going to end up being a screaming match of who done who wrong. It'll be, I'm sorry. Even though in your mind you're thinking, this is the craziest thing in the world, but it's not to them. I apologize. Apologize for saying that. I apologize for doing that. I apologize. Please forgive me. And I'm going to say something else. 90% of y'all are not going to agree with, but it's nowhere in the Bible. I'm not going to argue about it. I'm not going to get into this, that, and the other, this situation. I'm just telling you what's not in the Bible. I forgive them, but I don't want nothing else to do with them. You ain't forgive nothing. You ain't forgiven nothing. I don't care what you say. You've not forgiven nothing. because you don't find that in the Word of God. Oh, he makes a good quote on Facebook because many are holding on as well and they're going to love that. But it's not scriptural. Don't you notice when people post that, they can't put a verse with it? Now, folks, I understand that's a deeper walk. That's a spiritual man. But don't tell me that it's scriptural to forgive and never... Now, I understand you may part company, but to have the attitude. I understand you may not ever speak again as far as you pass not cross it. But to say, I have forgiven them, but I don't want him or her around me anymore. You ain't forgiven nothing. You're not there. You're still finding fault. Ain't that a good sermon? That's easy preaching. But it's hard living. And the carnal man can't do it. The carnal man can't do it. And the spiritual man will need to grow into it. It does take time. It does take time. But your desire to be, Lord, get me there. Not excusing the bitterness. Lord, get me there. That individual, I have went to them. They have apologized. They have tried to make it right. And Lord, my heart still hurt toward them. And Lord, within myself, I can't stop that. I need you to do it for me. But just to justify, I forgive them, but there ain't no forgiveness there. Because the Bible plainly says, if a man trespasses against you, you go to him alone and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If that man repents, you've gained your brother. Folks, you remember Esau and Jacob and Esau? Now, a lot of people, and I'm not trying to get bogged down in this story, but a lot of people, oh, Jacob, his name means trickster, supplanter. He just said, oh, but folks, you got to remember, Esau took his birthright more serious than he did. He sold out. That's an issue. But the fact remains, Jacob stole his birthright, then who dude him out of his blessing? I don't know, folks. I don't know if you can do anybody any lower than that. I'm not sure. Especially your brother. This wasn't a business thing between one company and another. These were two brothers, twins, by the way. Had the same blood. There's a picture there. We've never been done wrong like Jesus, and I don't think we've ever been really done as bad as Esau here. And for a while, Esau was hot. He purposed he's going to kill him. And thank God for mamas. Boy, you pack your bags, you better get out of here. But it's amazing how time and troubles and trials and God's breakings. God broke Jacob. And I'm not trying to add to scripture where scripture's silent, but he apparently broke Esau. And they come for them to meet after all of that sorry stuff that was between them. Jacob even strategically lined up his family. Oh, he's going to come out. It's going to be ugly. But we know that wasn't the case. When they met, they fell on each other's neck. Hugged one another. I'm not trying to add to scripture, but they both realized through the years they both had fault in it. They both had fault in it. Folks, that'd be good for preacher relationships. That's good for church members' relationships. That's good for your marriage relationships. That's good. That's good for that's good. There's going to have to come a time you say, hey, you know what? I could have been the one doing that to them. What was the difference? The grace of God. And Jacob even tried to give him great gifts. Esau said, I don't need that. God's blessed me regardless. God's going to take care of you. Just quit living in bitterness and quit finding fault and just get right with each other. And realize we all row in the same boat. We all row in the same boat. Don't be so quick to burn a bridge that you might have to cross again. Fault finders. Preacher, you preaching that tonight like you've never found fault in someone. No. Please don't think that. But I'm a man that wants to find less because I live with me. I know I got faults. And again, I'm not bragging on any kind of thing. I'm just telling you the facts. If you have an issue with fault finding, looking for ways to get over on somebody, to belittle somebody, to be against somebody, and not to forgive, we need help tonight. Plain and simple. Let's all stand. Sister Lisa's coming. The altar's open. Whatever you stand in, need to.